Our Father, we do indeed praise you for your love, and we ask that as we hear you speak to us this morning, that that would cause us all the more to remain in Christ's love and delight in it all our days. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen. Please do be seated. Now, you'll know there are words in one language which do not have a direct one-word translation in another. One classic example with Welsh is hiraeth, that word which conveys the deep longing for another place, which hasn't got an exact equivalent in English. But I wonder, have we ever been like that in one place and wished we were in another? I guess we may well have felt like this when we left home to study, or maybe had to travel for a work placement. We were there but wished we could be somewhere else. Or maybe we've lived somewhere, 4 years maybe, but again, our heart was elsewhere. I mean, that might be true of us now, living in London. We'd live to be somewhere else in particular that we long for. And the Welsh word hiraeth is usually used to express a longing for Wales, which may be yours. Well, when we feel like this, the longing isn't it, for that place we might call home, where we are at ease with the way that things are done, where things are familiar, where we feel we belong with the others who are there, and we wish that's where we were. Well, this morning we come to our next instalment in our series in the Lord's Prayer, and today we discover that this prayer is for those who long to be somewhere else. Let's read again the Lord's Prayer as it's recorded in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 6. It's on page 978. Jesus said, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So, our Father in heaven, starting again with that stunning privilege of knowing the Almighty Creator God as our Father and approaching him in prayer as his children. And our prayer then is for our Father God to be treated and honoured and responded to as the utterly holy God that he is, as we pray, "Hallowed be your name." We're asking that be true in our lives and in all the earth. And in particular, we've come to realise that Jesus is God's great promised King. And so we pray, "Your kingdom come." That more people would turn to Jesus as King in the world, and that they and we would then live for him increasingly as King. Which then brings us to today's line of the Lord's Prayer: "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So it starts by "your will." Well, what does Jesus mean here by "your will"? And in the Bible, the word "will," describing God, is used in a number of ways. One way follows, as we remember, God is the Creator, he's all-powerful, he's completely in control, and we must remember that in this sense of will, everything that ever happens in the past, present, and future is completely according to God's will. Then there's a second way that the will of God is used, which is more in focus here, which is what we could call God's will of desire. That is, what it is that God wants, the way God wants things to be done. And of course, one place where that is true completely already is in heaven. In heaven, what God wants is what happens. So the angels always do God's bidding, and the saints who are there before us are currently singing God's praises and doing his will. But of course, with that in mind, we then look on earth, and in this sense, God's will is not being done. There are rebellious creatures everywhere who are turning away from the will of God, refusing to do it, not living according to it. And knowing this, we then pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Although I guess some might hear this and say, well, but can we know God's will? After all, God is in heaven, even if there is a God. How can we on earth, his creatures, know what he wants? Don't we just have to muddle through, work out for ourselves what is right? How is God's will accessible to us? And this is linked with what people think prayer is. Sometimes people think that prayer is somehow a way of discovering God's will, what he wants for us. But actually, really, firstly, we'd want to say much more straightforwardly, prayer is speaking to God, in fact, speaking back to God in response to what God has already said to us. Because we know, don't we, God does speak. We can hear his voice in the Bible. And then we pray, responding to him for what he has said to us. Now, this is a vital theme all through the Bible. You can think of the Exodus, as we heard in our Old Testament reading. Just think that God brought his people out of Egypt, and then as they were traveling, they got to Mount Sinai. But what happened there? Do you remember? The people were to stay at the foot of the mountain while Moses went up. And if you like, the mountaintop there was the meeting place of heaven and earth. God came down, spoke to Moses, who recorded what God had said, and he came down the mountain and passed it on to the people, there in the form of the Ten Commandments and the laws that went with it. That is, God's will was revealed then on earth. It came from heaven, from God, to the people. The people then knew God's will, how they were to live. And it's no coincidence that over 1,000 years later, Jesus himself here went up a mountain to give this Sermon on the Mount. It's following this pattern established by Moses. Although there's a vital difference, of course, which is that Jesus is God himself in the flesh. So as he speaks, he is revealing God's will to us. So as we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, we can say in all humility, this is God's will. This is how he wants us to live, his people. And then in all the Bible, we hear God's voice, his desires, his will for us. And so having heard God speak, we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayer is that what happens on earth, out there, in the church, and then individually, will reflect what is done in heaven, what we have learnt about God's will and how he would have us live. So what does that mean then for the world in practice? Well, fundamentally, in heaven, everyone gladly recognises that God is king, happily. And that is far from the case here on earth, as we know. And so, as Matthew has shown us, Jesus is God's king. And so God wants all people to recognise that. So again, as we pray, your will be done, it's linking to the previous line, your kingdom come. But then this rule of Jesus, remember, is already true. It's established. And now those who come under his rule are to live according to the word of the king. Later in Matthew, Jesus says this, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So true followers of Jesus, fellow members of God's family, are clearly simply those who do what God wants because he's told us, and so we follow. But of course, hearing that, it doesn't mean it's always easy. Far from it. It is so hard, isn't it, in this world with so many temptations, so many pulls to go the world's way and not God's way, that we sometimes don't want to wholeheartedly give obedience to God. But this prayer is then expressing what is our even deeper wish, even if we don't feel it as we pray it. We pray, your will be done. We are asking that God changes our desires, that he bends our will, that as we live on this earth where we know things aren't done God's way, but we are tempted, we ask for God's help, that we would prioritize, that we would even want to do God's will rather than our own or those around us. And again, that will be very hard. Not only because we'll be tempted to go the other way in our sin, but also we might struggle to see, well, how is God's way for the best? Because we might think, well, God's way seems to cause me to lose out. And then in my life, I'm praying about God's will, but I think, but why does God allow whatever it is to happen to me? And in the midst of all that confusion and that lack of answers, we still pray, your will be done. Saying those words is to confess that we still believe God knows best, that we are convinced he loves us because of Christ, and so we will trust him that even if we are going through that very tough time, and as far as we can see that's going to continue, your will be done. I won't think that surely I know better than God what would be best for me here. I will trust him. God gets the final say. It's all such a challenge, and in this, of course, we do have the perfect example. Jesus models to us that perfect life of wanting to go God's way and live to please him, but it wasn't easy. Don't we find towards the end of Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus approaches his death, we find Jesus troubled and deeply sorrowful about what he knows lies ahead. He wants to be spared. And so he even prays, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But of course, that's not all he prays. The prayer continues, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus prays himself what he is teaching us to pray. He then goes on, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Now, we will never have to endure what Jesus did, thankfully. He took our place for us at the cross so that we never would. But as we stay faithful to him, in a similar way, there will be costly challenges that will hurt, no doubt. And so, like Jesus, we pray, "Your will be done." But wonderfully, we know that those trials are not the whole story. Because even as we pray, "Your will be done," we have the confidence of knowing where this will all lead ultimately. Think again of Moses up there on Mount Sinai, gathered people at the foot of the mountain. But that was actually a staging point, wasn't it, on the way to somewhere else, on the journey from the slavery in Egypt to the land God had promised. And in all sorts of ways in the Bible, that the Christian life is a journey like that. We've been rescued, and now we are on our way home. And don't we feel that so often? Now, hidaith, that word, usually describes a longing for the past, what we experienced then. So maybe mixed with nostalgia and wistfulness. Well, as followers of Jesus, we don't long so much for the past, but for the future. For a place we've not yet been. But we've had a glimpse of it in Jesus, and we know that's where I belong. That's really my home, not this earth. I may be here for a short time, but I know where I'm heading. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's guaranteed. And what a place, a perfect place. And what will be so great about it? Every tear will be wiped away, but also positively, the will of God will be done all the time by everybody gladly, including me. What a wonderful place it will be. And in fact, Jesus, we're told in the book of Hebrews, even as he faced his death, it was for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And then on the night before he died, he also prayed this, "Father, I desire that they also," that's us, "whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." So Jesus prayed, "Your will be done," knowing what the ultimate outcome would be. And sure enough, Jesus is now experiencing that joy of being seated at the right hand of the Father. And his prayer is that we will see him there, and we know it will be answered. Listen again to what the Apostle John saw at the end of Revelation. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God.'" So that's God speaking to us. And so when we now pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are looking forward to that day. The day, if you like, when heaven and earth will meet, when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, when we will be with our God. He'll be with us, his people, and all will do his will forever. And this prayer will certainly be answered. God's will for the future will come to pass, and then we will be home at last. And so then, for these few short years we remain on this earth, we are praying that our lives now will increasingly reflect what we will be like then. No more sin, no more rebellion. Instead, a delight in God as King, an enjoyment of living his way, and so making much of him. Well, let's pray as we close. Our Father, we do praise you that your will is right and good, a reflection of your character. Thank you again for Jesus, always obedient to your will, doing everything necessary to bring us to you. And so thank you that our future ultimately is secure, and that you will bring about that day when we are with you forever. And so we pray, as Jesus taught us, that as we wait for that day, that our longing would be for your will to be done on earth as in heaven. And so we ask that more and more people would turn to you as they recognize Jesus as King. And would we who know you live according to your will, obeying your commands and trusting in your will above our own desires and comfort. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.